Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hi, my name is Derek Till. My co-host, Akeem Adey, who will be joining me shortly. And you are listening to 5G Sports Talk. Today, we got a lot of interesting topics to discuss. Some is going to be a features topic, especially talking about these playoffs. How they have been such a surprise. What team should be, dare I say, nervous? And who look like they got the bull by the horn? Also, we're definitely talking more and more football. A lot of things is going on in football nowadays. Training camps is up and running. We're talking about prospects of who is to be reckoned with. The Rams is definitely one of those teams we're talking about, as well as the Bucks. And are the Jets gambling on Geno Smith? As well, hey, it's the running of the Indy 500, the Indianapolis 500. And we got a list of the drivers that participated in it as well. And trust me, there was female drivers there, and none of them was Danica Patrick. We have that and much more. Also, I do want to talk a little bit more about the Tiger Woods and Jose Garcia, what he had to say, as well as talking about the NBA lottery and what Kevin Durant did this past weekend for the victims of the Oklahoma City tornadoes. So we got a pretty full show. May not get to all our topics, but I promise you it will be enlightful and impactful as well. So please stay tuned. Hope you enjoy the show. Just to let you know, we air here on the J. King Network every Sunday, right here at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Also, we air every Monday and every Thursday at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on 5G Sports Talk Network. So definitely look for us there. You can also get our past shows on our website at www.5gsportstalk.com. You go on there, all our past shows on there, even organizations that we donate to. Yes, 5G does care. We do donate to Autism Wounded Warriors as well as breast cancer. So we don't just bring money in. We send it back out hoping to better others' lives. Hey, so let you all know, this is the Memorial Day weekend. Me being a vet, it means a lot to me, so I'm going to expound upon what this holiday season means to me towards the end of the show and what it should mean to everyone else other than just a day of barbecues and a day off come Monday. You can get our shows off of iTunes as well as a free download. Also, our shows are broadcast on RF Sports Radio. You can definitely go there to get all of our past shows as well as a lot of good shows on that network. So definitely go check them out if you get a chance, rfsportsradio.com. Definitely go check them out. Also, you can like us on Facebook as well as follow us on Twitter. We got a lot of Twitter followers. We're always getting new Twitter followers by the day. And hey, we just hope that you are one of them. So definitely follow us on Twitter at 5G Sports Talk and like us on Facebook and join our roundtable called 5G Sports Roundtable. Post some articles and comments in there, and just to see what you think, you let us know, because we sure going to let you know. With all of that being said, without any further ado, we're just going to jump right into it. Me and my co-host, Akeem Adey, to call in, but he's running a little late, but that doesn't stop the show. Speaking of the show and showstoppers, we're going to start off talking basketball. And in part, we're talking Miami Heat, Indiana Pacers. I do know in the past I have said that the Heat should win this series, but they should do it in seven because the Pacers are going to push them as hard as they can because they do have a lot of height. They are a tough physical team, and Miami's going to have to figure out how to combat that. I thought by Miami having the talent that they do have, that they'll be able to withstand the Indiana Pacers. But let's be clear. Miami lost game two. They should have lost game one if Frank Vogel didn't pull Roy Hibbert. It could have been a different – this series could literally be 2-0 in favor of Indianapolis, heading back to Indianapolis. But right now it's 1-1 heading back to Indianapolis. If I'm a Heat fan or a Heat player or team or that organization, I would be a little bit nervous because in game one, the Pacers did everything they wanted to do, and they almost won if it wasn't for the coach and his bad decision-making. Game two, the Pacers stuck to the plan, and they did whatever they wanted to do to the Miami Heat, and they won. A little unknown fact that I don't think most people know, but I'm going to share with you. The Miami Heat and the Indiana Pacers played a combined total of 100 minutes. In that time frame, the Indiana Pacers has led for approximately 64 minutes. The Miami Heat has only led at any given moment of this series so far for 19 minutes and 18 seconds. And then for 17 minutes, it has been a tie. That means, boys and girls, for the most part, Indiana has been dominating the Miami Heat for these past two games. They've had the lead for a combined total of 64-plus minutes, where the Heat has only had the lead for a combined total of 19-plus minutes. That is not championship-caliber play. And LeBron James is doing everything he can. Dwayne Wade is playing with a bad knee, and Paul George is showing how bad of a player he is showing out, and again, no answer for Roy Hibbert. The series is 1-1. It should be 2-0 Indiana, but they're heading back to Indiana. To be honest, they can head back to South Beach being down. Matter of fact, yeah, they could be heading back to South Beach being down 3-1. And we all know once you're 3-1, the series is almost a wrap. We're just going to see what transpired from your heyday. What is your take and your thoughts on the Heat Pacers series?
Oh man, it's definitely been a good series so far. The Pacers surprised me with game two. They played, you know, up to their talent level. Roy Hibbert showed up and showed out offensively, which hasn't been the norm for him. Although we've seen the potential last season that he can score. He has the ability to score. We haven't seen it a lot in the regular season. I'm just not convinced yet that the Pacers can continue to play at this level. I hope that they can. I know that Paul George is for real. I'm just not sure about his supporting cast. I'm just not sure about their ability to be mentally tough enough. I know that when you play Miami, you're playing against not just Miami Heat, but you're playing against the NBA organization, because we know who wants NBA to win, because anytime Dwayne Wade does not get suspended for his act towards Stevenson, they got to raise some eyebrows. I mean, that has to make people say, because there's no way that if someone else does the exact same thing, they don't get suspended. I mean, we saw it. We saw it, the series with the Bulls in Miami. We saw Najee Muhammad get into it with LeBron James, and LeBron James swung back. We only saw one player get suspended. And so that gives you an idea of the type of, you know, some people may say conspiracy theories, but these are facts. This is what we've seen. We also noticed that there were no fines, which I don't get that so far in this series. And I saw several flops by the Miami Heat in this series already. I mean, the Mario Chalmers move, you know, when Roy Hibbert stopped and waited and then dropped up, that was a flop. We saw the Birdman try to flop. We see King of Flops, Shane Battier, try to flop a couple of times. Didn't work. And so they should be handing out fines left and right to the Heat just for the flops alone, but they haven't. And so these are just more and more examples of that. I want to see the Pacers play at this level consistently. I want to see them beat the Heat. I'm just not certain they're going to do it. I think that Miami will win tonight, personally.
Right. Well, I'll say this. I do think Miami, it's hard for me to say if Miami's going to win tonight because, first, I really want to touch on the Dwayne Wade thing because you're right on the money. You're head dead on the money right there. We saw when Najee Muhammad shoved LeBron James, he got suspended for a game. And even though LeBron did act, he did some pushing off. I can't get too mad about the suspension because, again, yes, he did push him, maybe not to that extent, but it happens, so be it. Sometimes you have to be able to check your emotions at the door because it can lead to you getting in trouble. But on the same note, Najee Muhammad just pushed LeBron. Dwayne Wade delivered an elbow to the back of Lance Stephenson's head. Now, if it was a hard, vicious elbow, no, not necessarily, but the fact that he gestured and made that play to Lance Stephenson, it is definitely a suspendable offense. Now, if Dwayne Wade is not suspended for that, I'm going to tell you this right now. I will lose a lot of respect for the NBA as an organization. I'm a humongous basketball fan. Like I said, I was probably born talking about the NBA. That's how much I love basketball. But at some point, you got to say, my game has changed and has been tainted. It is not fair for all. I don't believe in calling the game one way for one team and calling it differently for another team. I believe the better team will always win. Just be fair in your play calling. That's what I believe. That's what I feel. Now, again, what Dwayne Wade did was far more worse than what Najee Muhammad did to LeBron James. I want to see what David Stern is going to do. If Dwayne Wade suits up LeBron,
are they responded already? David
what
Stern.
What
do they do David Stern says that they're gonna just give him the flagrant one. They're not gonna suspend him.
See, that's okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little ticked right now with that. If you do have any small kids in the room, it would behoove you for them to leave just for a moment. The moment is about to pass. That is some absolute bullshit. What Dwayne Wade did to Lance Stephenson, and Lance Stephenson was in a defenseless position, okay? His back was turned, and Dwayne Wade deliberately did what he did. For David Stern to do what he did and give him a flagrant one is absolutely disgusting. I don't care who you are. You could be freaking Michael Jordan. Makes no difference to me. A dirty play is a dirty play, period. I don't care what your name on your jersey say. This is the NBA. The NBA is going to be here long after Dwayne Wade. It will be. I promise you that. And you must protect the integrity of the game. If you're going to do it to one, you need to do it to all. One thing you can say about Roger Goodell, regardless like him or hate him, he punished equally across the board, just like he did the New Orleans Saints. He went after the players and the coaches, and he go after whoever he needs to go after, superstar or not. The NBA, I'm telling you this, man, that is absolutely disgusting. That's all Dwayne Wade got. That's all he got. And it was deliberate, out of frustration, because Dwayne Wade been playing like Dwayne crap. Okay, he's not even Batman no more. He's playing like Aquaman. Matter of fact, he's not even Aquaman. He's like SpongeBob right now, averaging 12, 13 points a night. Yes, I know he has a bad knee, but given the fact that he did what he did was absolutely atrocious and appalling and absolutely disgusting. And for the NBA to only give him a flagrant one is an absolute shame. I'm going to tell you this today. If I'm a Pacers player, I'm going to tell one of our low-end players, you know, that barely get any playing time, I'm going to tell him, take Dwayne Wade's knee out. Period. You want to go like that? That's all you're going to get? Good to go. Let's take Dwayne Wade's knee out.
You know,
his bad knee? Let's target his bad knee.
Game two was physical. Game two was physical, though. You got to admit, I mean.
No. I hear you, but when you look, they was running down the court. Dwayne Wade jumped behind him with the elbow. That was absolutely uncalled for. I could see if it was tangled up for a rebound or a screen. I could see if that go. I'm not going to be too heated. I'll be like, man, it's messed up. But it was absolutely no need. It was like when Ron Artest elbowed James Harden when James Harden was a Thunder. Remember that? It was unnecessary. Yeah. And that's what this was.
No, I agree.
It was unnecessary. So if I'm one of them Pacers, I'm going to say, hey, look, hey, you, Tyler Hansbrough, you don't really get no burn. If Dwayne Wade come in the middle, come down the paint, you take his knees out. We're going to send a message. You want to play dirty? Fine. That's what you want to do? Let's go. Because we're bigger, we're stronger, and we're more physical than you. Let's go. That's what we do. And I dare David Stern to suspend that guy. So you mean to tell me if you do it to Dwayne Wade, it's suspension. If Dwayne Wade does it to somebody else, it's a flagrant one. That will put the NBA in a bad position on how they actually govern players. And I'm sorry. I'm all about team. And if you go after my teammate, don't worry, baby. Next game, the bullseye's on your back. Ain't nobody above it. You could be Michael Jordan. I mean, when we step on the court, I tell Mike, look, I'm going to tell you this, dog. Don't jump around me. I'm taking you down. Don't you jump. I don't care if they throw me out the game. You're going to know what happened. And the thing, I'm the type, you're not going to get me, you're not going to suspend me for shoving you. I'm going to get suspended for doing fall. I'm going to earn that suspension. And I'm sorry. I don't advocate violence, but I do advocate tick for tack in the world of sports, especially when it comes to protecting your teammates. That's one thing I love about baseball. You being my batter, don't worry. We're going to bean yours. That's one thing I like about baseball the most. And it's absolutely egregious that all they gave Dwayne Wade was a flagrant one. Now, because of that, I'm pulling for Indiana to win this game. I'm pulling for them to win this series.
Oh, absolutely.
Like them, but I'm pulling for them to win this series.
Me either. But and the thing is, too, I don't know if you caught it, but in game two, David West did throw a bow to Mario Chalmers' shoulder. It was was pretty obvious, and I think it goes back to when I pushed the wrong button. I'm sorry. I think it goes back to when Chalmers hit David West with the knee in the groin, and then Battier did the same thing to Roy Hibbert, and so that was their response to that. But it did happen. You know, it did happen. I saw the footage. The article on the rule that the decision that was made about regarding Dwayne Wade was actually posted in the USA Today, which headlines Dwayne Wade not suspended for elbow in game two. It stated that in Indianapolis, it says that Miami Heat guard Dwayne Wade will not be suspended for his elbow forearm shiver to Indiana Pacers guard Lance Stephenson's head. However, the league issued Wade a flagrant foul, one for the incident, which happened near half court with 4 minutes and 5 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and Indiana had 89-88 in game two on Friday.
That's some bull.
And they showed a replay over and over again, and it's obvious that Dwayne Wade threw a bone. I mean, it looks like a WWF move if you look at the replay. He jumped up and jumped directly into his face. It was very, very obvious that he was trying to hit Stephenson. I mean, this looks like a wrestling move, man. There's no accidental or flagrant one, really? Like that. That's nasty, man. Looking at this elbow, I've seen cleaner. I've seen light, you know, moves in wrestling that was less vicious than this. And that was a vicious move, man. I mean, that was like UFC fighting. Vicious.
Right. And don't get me wrong. At one, I saw it like I watched it at least 15 times looking at it. Lance Stephenson sold some of it. You know what I'm saying? Dwayne Wade didn't hit him as hard as Lance Stephenson let on, but the fact that Dwayne Wade targeted his head bothers me all together. And I'm going to tell you, the most vulnerable place to hit a person is in the back of their head. That is the most vulnerable place. Trust me. It is. So even that concept, it was dangerous. And a flagrant one, David Stern, you are garbage. You get turd of the month from me. It may not mean a lot to you, but it is what it is. And I'm going to write an article now. I am motivated. I'm going to write an article, and I am going to post it on our website. That article will be – I'm going to write that article because it should not happen. That should not ever, ever happen in the NBA. Dwayne Wade has been having a bad series. He's been getting burnt everywhere you look. Paul George is killing him. Paul George is killing everybody right now. And I see this series getting more physical.
Did you see the dunk on Birdman and how he took LeBron James off the dribble? It was quite nasty. I mean, took LeBron James off the dribble 1-on-1. And Birdman tried to get involved, you know, and it didn't end well. It didn't end well for Birdman.
No.
He's definitely gonna be on the poster. Yeah, that was a poster.
He's on the poster. I'm gonna tell you about this about Paul George. Little thing I learned about him reading an article. For the Olympic team, the past Olympic team, right? They have to have somebody to play against, just like, you know, they all do, right? And they had other NBA players scrimmage against the U.S. men's basketball team. And Paul George just so happened to be on the team that they scrimmaged against, right? And they're basically there to get beat up on to get the U.S. team, you know, crisp, get them ready. And it was so funny, Paul George was talking about, they told him, one of the coaches told him, you know why you're here, right? And he said, I'm not here to be somebody's punching bag, right? And for that whole duration of practices for the U.S. team, Paul George took it upon himself and made sure that he was in positions and had to guard LeBron James. He had to guard Kevin Durant. He had to guard Kobe Bryant. He had to guard all these players. You know what I'm saying? He made it his business to have to guard them. You know what I'm saying? And him doing that, he's looking to make himself better. You know what I'm saying? You're only as good as the guys you play against. And he personally wanted to play against and defend these guys. And as you can see, he benefited from it. Look at his past season. Look what he's doing in his playoffs. I'm going to tell you this. We knew James Harden was good. We all knew it. We didn't know he was that good, but we knew he was good. No one knew that Paul George was this good. No one. And LeBron James and the Miami Heat are now seeing this kid can play. And I'm going to tell you, with him playing the way he is and George Hill playing, and Roy Hibbert is one of the big key factors as well, with them all playing the way they're playing,
absolutely,
LeBron James is going to have to LeBron's going to have to average a triple-double every night. They're going to need Dwayne Wade to show up, because without Dwayne Wade, I don't see them beating the Pacers. And with this flagrant foul one being called, I see the Pacers having more motivation going back to Indianapolis.
I hope so.
It's going to be a dangerous game for the Heat.
I hope so. I totally hope I'm wrong. I would like to see Indiana spoil Miami Heat's run. That would be a beautiful thing, because they actually the matchup is set. It's set in their favor. If they play aggressive, if they play physical, if you look at the talent on the team, yes, they have the ability to beat the Miami Heat. The question is, will they? Because, I mean, and the reason why we say this is, a lot, you know, some people are fans. Let's be honest, they're just fans, so they don't know much about Miami Indiana, except for the fact that they've seen a few highlights here and there. And maybe they read a few newspapers. That's it. But if they studied the game, they wouldn't know that the reason why this matchup from a talent perspective favors the Indiana Pacers is because, for one, they're a team that's very good at defending people on the perimeter. They're good at keeping people off the defense. They're good at causing problems for perimeter shooters. The other thing is they're very good at clogging the middle. Defensively, they're a hard-nosed physical team, and they shoot a lot of high percentage shots. I hope they don't get away from their game. I've been noticing they've been putting up quite a large amount of 3-point shots, sort of like the Memphis Grizzlies, who in my opinion have been shooting entirely too many 3-pointers.
I agree.
And the free throws, the teams have to work on their free throws. I know that Memphis hasn't been shooting good very well from the free throw line, which isn't good. So the Pacers, like I said, from a matchup standpoint, on paper, they should have an advantage. The only problem is this, is the mental game. The mental game is the key. And, yes, Frank Vogel cost them game one. It's hands down.
Yep.
It's not the Pacers' fault. It's not the referee's fault. It's not LeBron James' fault. It's absolutely Frank Vogel's fault. For sitting the man that can stop LeBron James from coming to the middle on the bench. That's just ludicrous. And that alone is enough that if they lose, he could actually lose his job. Just off of that alone, I mean, that's just something you just don't do. And so I would like, even though I don't like the Pacers, because for obvious reasons, Chicago Bulls fan, Indiana, come on, that should be obvious. But,
I'll
rather see Indiana or any other team but Miami win. That's just the reality, because I hate Miami Heat more than any other team.
Well, I'm going to say this with the mental toughness. I think Indiana has it, because with that game one loss, that could have been enough to really get them. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that they knew that they won that game but lost that game and then come out in game two and absolutely control Miami from start to finish shows me that this year they have the mental toughness. One thing David West said about last year's victory over Miami and Miami and this year's victory is that last year when they beat Miami and Miami, they was on the court celebrating like they were just happy to get a win. This year, he said, when the game was over and they beat Miami, no one celebrated because they didn't feel – they wasn't happy to win. They knew they were supposed to win. And their mindset is totally different facing Miami than it was last year. Like I said, this series could very be 2-0 in favor of Indiana, because if you look at game one, Miami was not in the game at all. They got lucky.
Yeah.
Callers, hey, if you want to call in and weigh in on this Miami Pacers series and Dwayne Wade's actions and lack of character he showed at that moment, I'm not saying he's a bad person, but look, you got to call him out when they do it. If you have any comments or statements about it, hey, please call in.
Absolutely.
The number here is 347-205-9366, and it appears we have a caller on. Caller, the last four of your phone number is 871. Zero, state your name and your comment. You're on. Caller, you're on. Okay, I guess they just tuned in to listen. Well, we hope you continue to listen. But, yeah, we just got to call them out when it happens. It's just unexcusable. I'm going to tell you another thing that's unexcusable. Okay.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, one thing I got to say in respects to LeBron James' game. You know, LeBron James has a very well-rounded game, and a lot of people tend to make the Michael Jordan comparison. And I'm not going to say it's a disservice to LeBron James because, you know, Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. But it's just not accurate. to make that type of comparison when you look at the guy's game. You and I, we talked about this many times. I think it would be better to make a comparison to the Big O. And we say the Big O, Oscar Robertson, for a reason.
Yes.
Because
yes.
of how versatile LeBron James is because of his size, his strength, and the fact that this guy at times can be a walking triple-double.
Yep.
He can rebound the ball. He can put up big numbers and points. He can give you the double-digit assists. So he has a well-rounded game. LeBron James is a lot, you know, he's very good. I mean, the physicality of his game is amazing because, I mean, he was born with a variety of different gifts that's just, let's just say, it's not the norm in the NBA. I mean, it's not every day you see a guy that's 6'9", can play like a guard with speed like a small guard, size and strength like he should be running, playing linebacker for the NFL or something. And yet he's about as tall as most of the power forwards. So he's definitely, you know, some people want to throw him in the Magic Johnson equation. I wouldn't do that for the simple fact that Magic Johnson just didn't have he wasn't the physical specimen that LeBron James is. He didn't have the athleticism that LeBron James is. So it's that. I just wouldn't make that comparison just off of that, you know, when you think about that. I could say, yeah, he's a great passer. He can pass. But I think Magic Johnson, his style of play when it comes to assists was definitely uniquely different. Although, you know, LeBron James can put up the numbers in assists, their style is nowhere near alike either. So the Big O is who he puts me in the mindset of when I look at his game, to be honest, because of the very and now we know LeBron James has the capacity to put up big numbers, and yes, he's going to have to play bigger if Dwayne Wade, you know, knee and everything that's going on with him continues to go the way it is, but. But I, you know, I got to also say this. I mean, you got a whole bunch of role players on the Miami Heat team. Isn't this the point in the time where you got to say, what's up with the supporting cast? Because you got, you know, this kid, Norris, you got Shane Battier, you got Ray Allen. You got all these guys on the bench, Rashad Lewis. And they look good when nobody's sticking them. You know, I mean, let's be honest, it's not hard to hit an open jump shot, or it shouldn't be. I mean, if you're a shooter, you get paid to shoot, you should shoot and hit your shots, especially when you're wide open. It shouldn't be that hard. But it's a totally different story when someone is defending the perimeter. And so I think that's a huge part of what's happening because – you know, even when something's happening with one of your big three, because you know they have more talent than most teams. So if one guy is not at 100% or close to it, that's still not an excuse for Miami to lose. I mean, they should have more offensive power than any team. Period.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. There is no excuse for their play other than Dwayne Wade is just MIA. But even with him being MIA, they have a little bit – well, they have – I don't know, because Lance Stephenson and Paul George in the perimeters, very athletic guards, very athletic,
true,
defensive savvy too, and that could clog up the wing, as it has been doing thus far. But we're just going to – it's going to – we just got to wait and see. Changing to the Pacers, not the Pacers, the San Antonio series.
Yeah.
San Antonio is up 3-0, and we already know this series is over because there's no way in the world the Grizzlies are going to run off 4 games.
2 overtimes.
And, yeah, it's not going to happen at all.
Yes, right, right.
Tim Duncan, a friend of mine, posed this question named Robert Jones. He posed a question. He said, if Tim Duncan wins his 5th championship ring at his age, right, and it's not like he's a role player. He is one of the guys playing, right? Where does that place him on the all-time list? Like, I already said, you know, in my opinion, I think Tim Duncan is the best power forward to ever play. But when he asked that question, he was talking about, when you're talking about the Jordans, the Kobe's, and the Shaqs and them boys, where did Tim Duncan place amongst them? And I sat down and I ponder over it. And in my opinion, if Tim Duncan wins title number 5, and before I go into what it is, little side note to help buffer where I'm going with this. Tim Duncan, just been reported, Tim Duncan is getting a divorce from his wife, Amy Duncan, of the past 12 years. So as he is playing in these playoff games, he is having marital problems, and he's playing like nothing is wrong. He is dedicated, and he is focused right now on the task at hand. Zach Randolph, Mark Gasol have no answer for him. Tim Duncan is putting up double-doubles. He became the second all-time leader in career playoffs double-doubles, only behind Magic Johnson. And he said, I won a title. And he's playing like it. And with his age, I mean, he's 38 years old, and he's playing like he's 25, 26. It's incredible. If he was to get that ring, being a key contributor, it'll be hard to not put him in the same conversation. Because, you know, we hear the Magics and the Jordans put together because they got 5 rings. And the Kobe Bryants and all of them put together, like the Shaqs and them, because they were so dominant and they were so, so successful. You will have to put Tim Duncan in that very exclusive category with them. Will he be rated higher than Jordan? No. I don't think he would. He will probably, now, if you want to say greatest big man all time, I think you have a real good argument with Tim Duncan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain and Hakeem Olajuwon and Shaq as far as who's the greatest big man of all time. Because I'm sorry, Tim Duncan survived a lot of those guys I just mentioned, except for Kareem and Wilt. But he played through his Olajuwons and his Shaqs, you know, and he's still there. He still was winning them. So he's going to be ranked up there really, really high. Then what do you think as far as Tim Duncan, with everything going on in his personal life and his age and everything, if he was to win this championship, yeah, what do you think that will place him as far as the greatest players or just greatest big men?
Yeah, I think you definitely have to put him in the top 10 of all time. And it's interesting that you brought up Magic Johnson, because Magic Johnson is actually who he's chasing to close in on the double-double record, because Magic Johnson holds a record of 157 double-doubles. Recently, Tim Duncan reached the 144 mark, career mark, double-double mark, and that definitely places him amongst the likes of Wilt Chamberlain as well. Yeah, it's you know, it's interesting because, like you said, he's closing in on a championship. He's closing in on, you know, Hall of Famers records with double-doubles. Yeah. And he's playing at such a high level at age 37. He's playing at such a high level. It's incredible. You have to put him in that discussion. I personally would like to see him get a ring and retire on top. Because
yes,
sure
I agree.
If this isn't his last season, next season might be it. But he's having such a great season. I'm sure a lot of people are thinking like, wow, this would be a great season to go out. You know, you win the Super Bowl. I mean, Super Bowl. You win the title, play at the level he's played, and retire. I mean, no one would be upset about that. You know, I mean, maybe some of the Spurs organization would probably say, oh, man, you could have gave us a few more years. But you played at this level. But you know, I'm sure fans would definitely be okay with that. And
oh, yeah.
This guy, you got to take your hat off to Tim Duncan. Like you said, he's got the off-the-court things going on in his personal life. But he's playing with such perseverance, such focus. And Tim Duncan is just a stellar class guy. He's a class guy, a blue-collar guy, a hardworking guy, a guy that does all the intangibles right. He's not flashy. He gets the job done.
He's not. And he's one of the most boring superstars ever.
Yeah. And he's a quiet he kills them quietly. He's a, you know, they had a movie called Killing Them Softly. Well, that's Tim Duncan's motto. Because yep. Timmy D kills them softly. Like, you know, he doesn't get all the rah-rah. He doesn't get all the attention. He doesn't have all the endorsers chasing him down. But the dude, mm-hmm. but the guy puts in work off season. He swims and practices swimming in his training. He adds that to his training, and his training regimen looks something like an Olympic athlete in the sweep meet or something. He's ridiculous when it comes to swimming. If anybody's ever seen some footage of the guy swimming, it's something to see. But yeah, the guy's like I said, he's a stellar class guy, class act. Never into nonsense. Represent the NBA well. Represent the Spurs organization well. And he's a winner, hands down. I mean, you can say what you want about Tim Duncan, but most players that play his position, they don't want to see him on the opposite end of the floor. They don't want to stick him, and they don't want to see him defensively either, because he's a problem.
No, you're right. They don't want to play him. They don't want to stick him. They don't want nothing to do with him at all. But they're going to have to deal with him. Tim Duncan, I'm going to tell you, class act player. You can't root. It's hard to root against him. He's so quiet. He's so reserved. He plays so hard. And I'm going to tell you, if Tim Duncan wins a championship, I do see him retiring. The only downside for the Spurs and his retirement is that Greg Popovich did make mention that if Tim Duncan retired, he would strongly consider to retire as well as the head coach, which would throw the whole Spurs organization into a total tizzy. So they are hoping Timmy sticks around at least one more year. But I would say this, though. If he calls it a career, no one could be mad at him. I mean, I can't name too many power forwards that has been as successful as him. Like I said, I still think he's the best power forward. You can't find me a power forward out there better than him. And don't tell me Oscar Robertson, ladies and gentlemen. Not Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell. Bill Russell was a center. But Tim Duncan, the most boring superstar ever and still one of the most successful superstars ever. His fundamentals is unmatched. Mr. Fundamental, and it works. His game is boring, but he put it in the basket and played great defense. So big up to him. Yeah, but I don't know what's going on with Memphis. You alluded to it about the countless three-pointers. Zach Randolph is not playing really his brand of basketball. What do you think? I'm going to say this. Memphis is done in this series. But what do you think they need to do to make this a respectable series? They're going to go down, but, I mean, you don't want to get swept.
You gotta fight it out. I mean, you gotta fight it out. It would serve them right to at least win one game in the series. You know, that was your fight. But you gotta fight it out. They're gonna have to evolve mentally. You know, they're gonna have to arise and gain the type of mental toughness that's necessary to go to the next level. And they gotta stop falling asleep. I mean, you gotta stop falling asleep and you gotta stick to what you do best. I saw a high percentage of 3-point shots from a team that doesn't have that. You know, they don't have that in their forte. They don't have. They're gonna have to probably search for some perimeter guys to add on to this team to give them a more of a fighting chance offensively. They might want to think about implementing more strategies to spread the floor and to uncloud the paint, because Mike Conley could do a lot more damage if he could make his way on the inside. Not that he can't shoot, but with his speed, you don't want to see him driving to the cup on a consistent basis. It would be Tony Parker ugly. I'm telling you, because the dude is quick. But they're gonna have to figure a lot of stuff off. They're gonna have to do some soul searching out on the off season, because the bigs came up short. I mean, you know, Tim Duncan is one guy. So what's Mark Gasol and Zebo's excuse? Because it's two of you guys. You should have game plan and bully Tim out of there. I mean, he's one guy, and don't make me laugh and say they had Tiago Splinter. I mean, really, that is that?
Yeah,
that can't be your excuse. And the free throws, right. God forbid, the free throws. I mean, they fell very short on the free throws. That must improve going forward as well.
I agree. Free throws have been one of the biggest things that's been killing Memphis as well. We talked highly of Mike Conley, and to the point, Mike Conley is still playing relatively well. He really is. Last game, 20 points, 4 assists, and he's playing well. He's playing the type of basketball that they need him to play, but they're playing outside of what they do best, like you said. And that's what's really killing them.
7 rebounds, 5 steals.
Yeah, let me rephrase that. That's what's killed them because this series is over. I don't see no way in the world that Memphis is going to beat Greg Popovich and those San Antonio Spurs 4 games in a row to go to the finals. We could possibly be looking at the making of a Spurs-Pacers series. And I'm going to tell you this. For these fake fans
wow.
of the NBA.
Really? A Pacers series?
I really do believe the Pacers have a real strong possibility to beat Miami. Look, like I said, Miami is only led in the game for the combined total of 19 minutes. A regular TV show runs longer than what Miami led the Indiana Pacers throughout this entire series thus far. The Heat have only had the lead for 19 minutes. The Pacers has had the lead for 64 minutes. If that's not dominant, that I don't know what is. That means Miami's been playing behind for the past 2 games. Right now, Miami is up 22 to 20. They're only up by 2 points. It's the first quarter. You know, that's what I'm saying. When you look at who's had the lead the longest, 64 minutes is a long time compared to Miami's barely 20 minutes. That tells you right then and there who's really controlling the tempo. That's why I said this series could easily be 2-0 favor of Indiana. So I just can't say, because Miami got so much talent, they're going to win this. Dwayne Wade is still limping. Chris Bosh could only do so much, and they haven't found the answer yet Roy Hibbert. They have not found the answer for him yet, and he is actually playing well. And mind you, I just told you the score was 22-20. Now the score is 23-22 Indiana. They're just taking the lead back. And it's been that kind of series thus far. If Indiana wins this game, Miami's going to be on a rope because they do not want to go back to Miami down 3-1. That's almost the death kiss. So I strongly believe Indiana could win this series. I'm not 100% sure they will. But, I mean, it's a 50-50. It's a legit 50-50 because if Miami loses, and I'm going to tell you, Miami is making different game plans to beat Indiana. If they make the adjustments and they still fall short, there's no way in the world we can sit here and honestly say that this is Miami's series. It can't be. Not if Indy's winning the 2-1 and then dominating. It's not like last year where it was fighting to stay in it. They're dominating. And that's just the sad part about all of it. And that's why I say we could very well see a Spurs-Pacers series. And if we see that, I will be happy. Because then it tells me the NBA has finally evolved to what the NFL is. To where any given year, anybody's team has a real shot to make the playoffs, has a great shot to play in the NBA Finals. I told a friend of mine, I am sick of watching Boston Celtics and the LA Lakers in the finals. I'm sick of it. It's not fun anymore to watch. And I'm not the only one. If you're not a Laker or Celtics fan, you're sick of watching that. If you're a pure basketball fan, even though, yes, you want your team to win every year, but outside of that, you're like, come on, man. I mean, it gets boring. So I definitely do applaud what's going on. If it does happen, man, it's going to be great. And Greg Popovich, if he takes this team to the finals and win it, you got to put him up there with the great head coaches of the NBA. You just have to. If you don't, you're doing them injustice. In my opinion, you're just doing them an injustice. So, you know, got a couple of callers calling in right now. Got another caller on the line. Hey, if you have a question or a comment about what we have covered so far pertaining to the NBA, Dwayne Wade and his elbows, the Miami Heat series, the San Antonio series, Tim Duncan, where you think he should be ranked, hey, please, give us your name and state your comment. Number 0434. State your name and your comments. You're on.
Hey, what's up, Derek? It's Steve. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. And you?
I'm doing okay. I was a friend that you said who was sick of Boston and the Lakers, and I'm the one guy that's not sick of that because I'm a Laker fan, but I see exactly what you're saying. As far as the Indiana-Miami game, good back and forth action going far, going so far, Hill hitting threes, Udonis Haslam hitting some shots, which kind of helps. But to me, what the series comes down to is how Indiana lost game one, and that was allowing LeBron James to penetrate to the basket. The Heat are primarily perimeter shooters, so they've got to hit shots from the perimeter. They might not have a lot of penetration opportunities, particularly after that game one play, Indiana making an adjustment to that, and Hibbert has been going nuts, which has been a real surprise in this series so far. I didn't think he played this well, this great, the first couple of games, but he has. So it's a series that Indiana can win. I agree, especially if Hibbert keeps scoring and if Paul George keeps doing what he does against a banged-up Dwayne Wade right now that is kind of getting exposed with that knee injury that he wasn't that wasn't exposed in the last round because he really didn't have to worry too much about Jimmy Butler and Chicago.
Yep.
So it's a dangerous time for Miami right now unless they start hitting shots from the perimeter that could loosen that Indiana defense up and open those lanes to get to the basket. And they get Hibbert under control ultimately.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you control a 7'2", 260-pound player because Miami doesn't have that type of muscle in the front court. If you look at their makeup, their biggest muscle, it seems to be Udonis Haslam and Birdman. But let's be honest, Bosh is not that physical big man. But you got David West and Roy Hibbert, who loves contact. This is going to be a long series for Miami.
Indiana's
right
more
now,
physically gifted team, no question.
Yes.
LeBron James is physically gifted, but he's just about the only one on this team that is physically gifted that could take a beating with his size. But I agree with you. Indiana has a physical advantage in this series. How they neutralize Hibbert is get the ball out of his hands, double team him, which they were going too early in this game here, I noticed, and force Miami to make some open shots or force Indiana to make some open shots. But don't leave George Hill open. He's hitting every open shot that he gets. If you double team off of Lance Stephenson's man with Hibbert in the post, and he's the one least likely to hit an open shot, although he did hit a three earlier in the game.
Yeah. I agree. That's their best bet. If you're going to die by the jump shot, let it be the jump shot. Let Lance Stephenson shoot you. Let Lance Stephenson beat you because David West can hit his perimeter jump shots. Paul George can knock his shots down. George Hill, everybody on that court can hit their perimeter shots other than Roy Hibbert, but he plays so close to the basket. He doesn't have to.
Right.
No one's going to push him out the paint. Yeah. But if he can shoot at least 42% from the field, that hurts Miami because he's still making more than they expect him to, which put pressure back on Dwayne Wade to have to make his shot. And by the way, if they do that, Indiana can make adjustments and put DJ Augustine out there, DJ Augustine, who can knock down his shot. So they don't have to figure out, do we continue to double team Roy Hibbert because now they got another shooter on the court? So as long as Frank Vogel keep making adjustments to whatever Miami's doing, Miami can't make the same adjustments that the Pacers can make because Miami doesn't have the height nor the strength to do it, and that's their biggest downfall.
That's true. If Hibbert keeps hitting shots like he has, if he keeps being effective down low, that's going to be a real Miami killer. Because those wide-open shots will be there, and chances are Indiana is going to hit them. Plus, with how motivated they are, I've always said that motivation makes shots. When you're as motivated as the Indiana players obviously are, that basket's a little bigger, and that ball is a little lighter.
Yes. And Ray Allen has been the invisible man. You know, he was supposed to be the guy come off the bench and make things happen, and And they have done a very good job of disrupting Ray Allen and not letting him get to the spots he wants to get to. If anyone noticed, he's been working to get to his shots because Ray Allen's the type of guy, he can disappear on you and find himself in the corner somewhere shooting it. They're paying attention to him when he comes on the court, basically neutralizing him. And I don't think Miami was ready for that either. And Shane Battier is just not hitting nothing. He's just having a bad series altogether. So we're going to see what takes place in this series, but it's going to get ugly before it gets good for Miami. Real ugly. Put a plug in for your show. Everybody know who you are?
Diehard Sports Radio. Well, I think we got everything Lakers coming on after this show.
Yes.
On the Day King Network at 7 p.m. I haven't heard from Stephanie, but I suspect we'll be doing a show at 7 p.m. Everything Lakers with my girl, Stephanie Laker Girl Beard. So we're going to be doing that show from 7 to 9. Diehard Sports Radio will be in the house. And then Diehard Sports Radio regular broadcast this Thursday at 7 p.m. We're going to open up for 2 hours, so up to 9 p.m., at least 8:30. So 7 p.m. to at least 8:30 or 9 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to talk about why the NBA should shed its player-driven league image, why it's hurting the NBA more than it's helping the NBA. We will talk about that on Thursday, again, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 or 9 on Die Hard Sports Radio, blogtalkradio.com. Thanks for having me on, Derek. Good talking with you again.
No problem. Thanks for calling in.
You got it. See ya.
Cool. Yeah. Taking another caller. I think this is Stephanie. I'm not sure. Last four is 3142. And you're on. Hello?
Hold on, Derek. I'm trying to turn my volume down on the game.
Oh, okay.
How you guys doing? Hold on.
We're doing great, and you?
Yeah, we're good.
Guys, I just got back from the movies. I went to go see The Fast and the Furious. A great movie. Great, great.
Okay.
Great action-packed movie. Yeah, you guys got to check it out if you like the series. It's an awesome movie. So, yeah, I'm listening in, watching the Pacers game, hopefully that they'll win. You know, they should actually be 2-0. I think right now,
yes.
You know, they lost that first game, you know. But I think they should have won. Now, I wish they would be, but you know the NBA is not going to allow the Pacers and to go into that finals. They're going to help the Miami get in there and make it a game, I guess. So I think the Pacers are a really good team.
They are. Can I have a quick question for Al? I definitely want to hear your opinion on this. What do you think about the NBA's action to Dwayne Wade, just giving him a flagrant foul, one for the elbow to the back of Anthony's head?
Well, you know what? I know that Dwayne Wade gets away with a lot of dirty plays. I don't know. I think it should have been more than that. I think he should have gotten suspended. I know that Metta World Peace has a long history of violence in the league.
Right.
And that when he used his elbow, it's automatic suspension for him. But, you know, Dwayne Wade has done some dirty plays in his past as well. I mean, he hasn't, you know, started a big fight. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, like Metta World Peace was in a huge fight and he was a Pacer.
Right.
But I still think that Dwayne Wade should be suspended for that. And he gets away with a lot of dirty plays.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, just like in the Bulls, like we talked about earlier, the Bulls Heat series, Muhammad just shoved LeBron and he got suspended. Like,
mm-hmm.
Dwayne Wade threw an actual elbow deliberately and all he gets is a flagrant one. I don't see how it looked like the flagrant one could have went to Muhammad and suspension should go to Dwayne Wade. But like you said, a lot of us believe the same thing, that the NBA is trying to make sure Miami make it to the finals. And I'm going to tell you this, I love the NBA. I love basketball. I don't love the NBA because the NBA is not basketball. It's the NBA. Basketball is a, you know, it's a sport that anyone can play anytime, anywhere. But I will, if it continues this way, it's no way in the world I can possibly keep watching basketball. I would literally boycott basketball. Like when baseball had their steroid problem, when it was bad, I really went 2 years and didn't watch a baseball game, regardless of who was playing. And I will. Yes, wow. I did. And I will boycott the NBA and not watch a single basketball game until they play fair. My thing is, if you win, you lose, you lose. Not because someone
right.
dictated it that way, but that's just how the game went. And Dwayne
well,
wins,
they're saying that they're saying that the NBA, not to cut you off, they're saying that the NBA don't make a lot of money. Their numbers are gone. The revenue is down for them. So they want those big market teams and those series, and it's crazy. And like you said, I agree with you. It should just whoever wins should be there. Then those teams that are small markets can become bigger and bigger
right.
as they get into the championship games. I totally agree with you. Now, I don't know about not watching the Lakers because I have to watch the Lakers play no matter what. I just have to. But I do understand what you're saying. You know, boycotting, you know, it's what it takes because the NBA, they're just so unfair. David Stern, maybe
right.
the new guy coming in, maybe he will be different, David Stern. I don't know. They do need to address it, and they need to address
right.
it quick because, I mean, their numbers are going down for a reason.
Well, I'm going to say this. Just to dispel the myth of the NBA not making money, the NBA is making more money now than they did before. They're losing, like, their loss is an exaggerated loss. Like, let's say 5 years ago, right, they was making $500 million, right? They was making more than that. Basically, argument's sake, okay? 5 years ago, they was making $500 million, right? And then the seasons that preceded that, they started making $800, $900, up to $1 billion, right? And then last year, they only made $900 million. Yes, they're probably $100 million off of the billions that they made last year, but they're still plus $300 to $400 million overall from where they started. So the NBA revenue stream is still growing. They may have had a setback because a lot of things take place. You know, some star players aren't playing like Derrick Rose and other players.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the NBA is still very profitable. And, oh, by the way, I learned this too. The NBA is another sports organization that claimed that's a nonprofit organization. So they get tax breaks. So
right.
it's hard for them to say they're losing money. You're not really losing money. You're not making the money you want, but you're still making more than you started off with, a lot more. So, so they're still fat, and the owners aren't hurting because a lot of these owners own either baseball teams or football teams. They're not hurting, so they
right.
so they
I agree with that.
Can stop crying with that. They can. I could tell where they can go with that argument.
Now, are they a sport that's making less money than football and baseball and hockey?
Yes. Yes. Well, no, they make more
money than
hockey.
That's why I think they
hockey.
Say it.
Yeah.
They make more than hockey, right?
Yeah. And the only reason that they make less money than the NFL and baseball is far older than any American sport we have.
Right.
That's American culture. So they're going to make their money. And plus, it's 162 games. They're going to make their money. You know what I'm saying? They got so many games to play. The NFL, they have so few games, and it's only once a week. They turn it into an event. And the way the CBA has worked, that any team, any given year, can be a playoff team. Look at Seattle. They was garbage. They could have been in the Super Bowl last year. People projected them or San Francisco to be in the Super Bowl. Green Bay
right.
won a Super Bowl after so many years. You know, even Denver's resurged. And the NFL has it to where any given team can be good any given year, which makes fans excited about the NFL. That's how they're going to make their money. The NBA is stuck in between. They're not old enough like baseball to have that lineage, but they have too many games to where they can make it like an action, like it's an event, like the NFL can. So they're in the middle.
Yeah.
The problem with the NBA is that, I'm going to tell you this, they have no idea to how to really brand the NBA because they're looking at the money so tightly, they're not looking at what is the appeal of the NBA. Like I'm hearing that eventually they're going to go to putting logos, you know, advertisements on jerseys. That will kill
right.
it for a lot of basketball purists, and that will hurt the NBA. Yes, they'll make money because of the revenue from
advertising, but the game will take a hit as far as the fans are concerned. That means whatever jerseys you may have will become collector's items because they wouldn't make them that way anymore. Like, I went out and bought Kobe Bryant's Christmas Day jersey because that might be the last Christmas Day jersey he'll ever wear. You know what I'm saying? It just might be. And I got it. I'm about to put it on the wall with my Michael Jordan 45 jersey right next to each other. Those are the last jerseys they probably will ever wear. And that's what the NBA is. It's about those moments that the people that run the NBA just don't get. So that's where they're losing the money. That's why they won't be a bigger brand than baseball and football, because they don't know how to capture the moment. They're just looking for the money.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I should have got, I got to get my jersey because, I mean, I know that will be.
Oh, yeah, get it.
Yeah, I got to get that jersey. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, look, when he comes back, if he comes back, I would like to see him come back because I have so much respect for him. He's a warrior. When he went out there and shot them free throws, I respected his game. But when he went back out there and shot those free throws, that did it for me. I'm like, this dude, he's the truth, period.
Incredible.
That made me say, that's when I said he deserved to be on the same breath with Michael Jordan. Because, I mean, you see players sprain their ankle, you got to wheel me out, carry me out. He said, I'm good. Let me shoot my free throws and walk this up out there, did what he did, and walk back unassisted. Yeah. That's respect. And I went out there and I bought his Christmas Day jersey, the all-white with the purple trim, and it may be the last one he wear.
Yeah.
It'll be a collector's item.
That's true. I agree. I got to get mine. I have to get mine to make sure. So, all right. Cool.
All right, cool. Well, I thank you for calling in.
No problem. I'm going to get ready for my show, Everything Lakers, tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time tonight. You know, because the White Howard, you know, the White Mayor is starting July 1st. Is the deadline. You know, if the White doesn't resign, you know, the Lakers got to have a plan B. And we're going to talk about that, you know, what will be our plan B? What will be the Lakers' plan B if the White does not resign? So you guys check us out tonight. Me and Steve Itz will be on live 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'm gonna definitely try to call. I have people over, but I'm gonna definitely try to call into that, especially that portion of what the Lakers should do. Because I concocted a plan how the Lakers can still be viable while rebuilding. I told Steve the other day. We went out for drinks, and I told him about it. And it makes sense, but we all know Buss is not the brightest guy. But hey, I would definitely tune in tonight though.
Okay, great. I'll be listening in while I get ready for my show.
All right, cool. You take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye. We got about 21 minutes left in the show. Hey, Dan, what is on your mind in this day of sports that you just got to get off your chest?
Oh, man, I'm still thinking about the possibility of this championship series, man. Who's going to show up? But I'm also thinking about, you know, obviously I'm thinking about the future of the Bulls franchise. But since football is coming up, I'm definitely thinking about the NFL and how the Eagles will respond with the with the situation with Michael Vick and what's going on over there. I'm curious to see what the Patriots are going to look like this season, because a lot of media people have been kind of hyping up their backfield, you know, which I'm not excited about personally, but some people think that the Patriots are going to be pretty good this season. I think they're going to be, you know, solid, but I don't think they're going to be spectacular this season. I don't think they're going to do – I think they might – if they make it to the playoffs, I think they might go out the first round this season. That's just me.
You know what? It's so funny you said that. I don't think the Patriots are going to be solid. I think the Patriots are going to be good because everybody else in the division is bad. You know? And I won't even say they're all bad because I think the Dolphins has closed some of the gap with the signing of Mike Wallace. I think the Bills have closed some of the gap because C.J. Spiller will be their starting running back, and he was electric when he was in, ran over 1,000 yards when Fred Jackson went out. So with the new focus on offense and retooling, the Bills should be a little bit better. I'm not saying they're a playoff team yet. I'm not even saying the Dolphins. But I'm saying those two teams should be more competitive than they were last year. With that being said, it's like the Patriots is in the dangerous waters right now. They can be potentially the best of the worst and the worst of the best right now. Because we got to understand, the Patriots' offense predicated upon throwing the ball down the middle of the field to Gronkowski and Hernandez. With Gronkowski being out because he has had another surgery to take some of the bacteria and whatnot off the plate that's in his arm, which is giving him more downtime for recovery, Hernandez is going to be the guy down the middle of the field. Oh, by the way, linebackers and the safeties will definitely double-team him and throw him in a tight zone to where Tom Brady just can't throw it to him, which will force him to throw it to wide receivers other than Wes Walker and hope they make plays. Danny Amendola, he's a good guy. He's a good player, but rescue 911 is on his speed dial because he get hurt quite often. Then you got Michael Jenkins, who's your number one wide receiver in New England, who's really a number three wide receiver, posing as a number one. The Patriots' offense is definitely going to be in trouble because they don't have any playmakers. One playmaker is in Denver, and the other one is still hurt. Now they got a bunch of unknowns that Tom Brady's going to have to get comfortable with real soon. So I think they're going to be in for a pretty rough season. They should still win a division because, again, their division is weak. It's a very weak division. Now, I will take that back. It's not a very weak division. But Tannehill and them Dolphins need a little more time to get better. Buffalo needs time to get a little bit better. The Jets just stink. They're not even a part of the equation. Well, Miami and Buffalo can make it a little difficult for New England, but New England still wins that division. Still. But after that, like you said, first round, they're getting punched out. Goodbye. See you later. The fat lady is sung. It's over for them. It's over for them, in my opinion. I don't see – there's nothing about New England that scares me now. Nothing. No Gronk, no problem. We can handle that. You saw what Baltimore did. So another team's going to buy into that real quickly. So what about your Bears? With Brian Urlacher being gone and the Bears not making any huge splashes in the offseason, they made a couple of good ones with bringing on Martellus Bennett over, who played for the Giants, who had a really good season with the Giants, and I'm mad the Giants didn't keep him because he showed out. Now Jay Cutler got another target to throw to help Brandon Marshall. Earl Bennett is back. Hopefully he'll be able to really contribute. Matt Forte is a year removed from his surgery. He should be a lot better this year with Michael Bush in the backfield. They did address that offensive line to an extent, but with the Bears, do you guys have, and they did add DJ Williams in as the new middle linebacker. Do you guys have, what's the buzz there in Chicago about the Bears? Are there high hopes for them, or is it what we're going to get?
No, you know, Bears fans tend to be pretty amped up this way on a consistent basis. I do believe that the Bears will be a sleeper team. I think that the Bears are going to shock a lot of people. I don't believe we're going to win the Super Bowl this season. However,
yeah.
I think we're going to scare a lot
of
people. I think we're going to scare a lot of teams, though. I think we're going to scare a lot of teams. I think we're going to be better than we were last season. I think we're going to definitely scare some teams. I think we're definitely gonna I think we'll definitely be able to create a, I'm not gonna say a mismatch, but I think we're gonna be able to beat a team that people don't think we're capable of beating. So I definitely think that's gonna happen. The Bears will, like I said, they'll be better than last season, most definitely. But I hope that the offensive line is way better this season, and that's going to be a very, very, very important piece of this team. Staying healthy, and also the play of the offensive line, because I think the defense will be all right. I think the defense will be a lot. I believe the defense will be better this season than last season, even without Erlach. But because we got younger.
I agree with everything you said. In that last part, you're right. You guys got younger. The only thing that leaves me hard to believe, that's my biggest question mark, is the head coach. I loved Lovie Smith. He kept them disciplined. He kept them focused. And especially with the age of that team, he was still able to hide the age. Yes, they didn't make the playoffs, but they was 10-6. They still had a winning record. They still won 62% of their games. That's still good, even though they missed the playoffs. That's a good loss, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? 10-6, I'll take that. I'll take that every season if you can give me that. I mean, Baltimore and Cincinnati made the playoffs 10-6. Most teams shoot to at least get 10 wins to have a shot. So with the coaching thing, is my only question mark, is he going to be able to make this talent produce well? I do have a comment from one of the listeners via Facebook, Robert Jones. He said, what's going to be the death of the NBA is all these players coming together to make super teams. I do agree with him with that because, again, it takes out the competitive nature that the NBA needs to maintain. So I do agree the death of the NBA will be predicated upon these super teams. We're just going to – but I think the new collective bargaining agreement helps alleviate super teams with the luxury tax and penalty that come with it. But we're going to have to see how that pans out. Coming up on 12 minutes left in this show. I know one thing we didn't talk about a lot lately a day that we have been missing a little bit of is NASCAR, preferably right now. Well, not NASCAR, but the Indy 500. Ladies and gentlemen, you must understand there's a huge difference between the Indy 500, IndyCar racing, and NASCAR racing. Indy cars are a lot faster. There's not much room for mistake. They'll hit 200 miles on you in a heartbeat, literally in a heartbeat, and before you realize it, they're whizzing past you. And the Indy 500 was to date. It ended with the winner being Tony Kanaan. I can't pronounce, the name. Hey, some of these got some weird names. But he won the Indianapolis 500 with a Chevrolet engine. Now I do want to say a couple of things about this race. It was a pretty good race, but Danica Patrick, she used to be a Formula One car racer, which is not easy to be. Which is why I thought when she went over to NASCAR, it would be easy for her. Because even though those cars in NASCAR are pretty fast, they do about 190 to 200 miles, the acceleration and the overall top speed is not the same. They're still slower. So you would think the matrix effects, oh, this car is slower, so it should be easier. No, she still stink. Just throw that out there. But I'm sick and tired of her getting praised for being suspect. There's other female drivers in Formula One that don't get a lot of mention. And I'm going to name a couple of them that have pretty good careers. Their careers are a lot better than Danica Patrick. The only thing is they're not as pretty, quote-unquote, as Danica Patrick. Kathleen Legg, she finished 25th. A notable finish by a female, Anna Beritz, she finished 15th, which is pretty high when you look at the scope of what they're doing. And other female drivers out there that are driving extremely well but don't get the praise. And Danica Patrick, in my opinion, give them a bad, bad name. So the Indianapolis 500, that's their Super Bowl, the 97th annual Indianapolis 500. I would love to see what the 100th Indianapolis 500 will look like, because that will be a milestone for that sport, that type of racing. Notable finishes, Marco Andretti. He finished 4th, talented driver. If Andretti sounds familiar, Mario Andretti The Andretti family, very, very well-known family in NASCAR. I'm sorry, in the racing world, very well-known. Do you have any comments you want to make on the Indianapolis 500?
Excited about it. Glad, you know, happy to see, you know, the competition. Happy to see people be very competitive in the Indy. Looking forward to the Sprint Cup.
Yeah, I know you are. I'm about to hit that too.
Yeah, looking forward to the Sprint Cup, though. I'm not gonna lie. You know, Indy is great. Don't get me wrong.
Indy is nice.
I mean, you know, who can deny cars that can accelerate at the pace in the time frame in which they do in any NASCAR? I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, you got to respect it, whether you are into engineering, you're into cars, or you just like watching fast things move. You got to love it. So, yeah, you got to love it. Well, I want to know how this thing is going to end. I'm really curious of how, you know, Jimmy Johnson is going to, you know, end the season. Because, you know, we've been watching Jimmy Johnson last season. It was very close. And, you know, there are a few moments where, you know, he wasn't there for various reasons that it affected his overall score. So I really want to see how this is going to end in the end in the Sprint Cup because of last season. I'm just very interested in seeing it, and I can't wait to see the next few races because it's going to be interesting. And you're right, you know, Danica Fitzpatrick. I mean, she's been getting a lot of attention for, you know, a lot of the wrong reasons. I don't even know why we still having that. I don't even know why the media is still having that discussion. I mean, they need to let it go, and start talking about the other competitive athletes that are in the NASCAR. And I mean, if they want to talk about women, like you just said, there are women athletes in NASCAR who are doing very well for NASCAR athletes in general. So focus on the ones that's winning. You know?
Yeah, but fantastic losers.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about it though. As long as they keep bigging her up, you know, we're gonna talk about it. That's just we gotta do it.
Because we're forced to, you know. I agree.
Yeah, we gotta do that.
Yeah, we are definitely forced to, but she still stink. But I will say this. Yeah, she stink. I will say this, though, when talking about Jimmy Johnson. Look, I'm going to tell you, Jimmy Johnson going to win this one again. Last year, he had six did-not finishes. Six did-not finish. If he would only had three did-not finishes, he wins the Sprint Cup. Period. This year, he is the leader yet again. He's 44 points ahead in points. Ahead of the next closest guy, which is Carl Edwards. Guess what Jimmy Johnson don't have this year? Did not finish his. He's completed all of his races. He has two wins, six top fives, and eight top tens. He's made a little over $4 million. He's whooping everybody's head in basically every category. Because this is what he do. He is the Michael Jordan of NASCAR. No driver has been as dominant for so long and won so many titles back to back to back and just doing it again and again like Jimmy Johnson. Don't get me wrong, that is no slighting of Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt, and the rest of those boys. But this guy is just so dominant, and he rebounded well from it. Good note on this, though, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who I normally thrash and beat up, I might have to pull back just a little bit on him, just a little bit. Last year I called him a flash in the pants. He finished well last year in the Sprint Cup race, in the Sprint Cup chase, finished, I believe, fifth. And I was like, well, hey, he had the fluke year. Well, this year he is fourth in the Sprint Cup chase, and he has been racing very well. three top fives and seven top tens. A complete 180 of years ago. So a day right here, right now, I'm going to have to pull back some of the venom I had on Dale Earnhardt Jr. because I told you, man, he got to be consistent. And right now, he's looking real consistent. He is looking very consistent. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Brad Krasowski, the winner of last year, yeah, he's 97 points behind Jimmy Johnson. Just want to throw that out there. And Greg Biffle, he's 12. He's 112 points out. I'm naming all the haters of Jimmy Johnson of last year. All of them. Matt, hey, they all can get it. Because Jimmy, he's the truth right now. He's the truth. Hey, anything you want to add on NASCAR? I know we're excited for the Sprint Cup chase. It's really getting heated. Right now, this is like Jimmy Johnson is really just, it's going to get to the point to where it's not going to be even exciting anymore because it's like he has to wreck quite a few races for people to catch up to him.
True. Yeah, it's going to be exciting, and I don't know. I know this. It has nothing to do with NASCAR, but I don't know if you've been watching, but this Miami Pacers game is getting a little ugly right now.
Oh, really? Well, I'm recording it because we're doing the show. I'm recording it. I am watching online a little bit here and there. I see the score right now is 54-45. I'm just not seeing the actual action. But it should get ugly. Miami needs this win more than Indianapolis do. Miami need this one. But we'll see because right now it's just the second quarter. We had a whole other half to play after this, and we've seen what Miami can do in the second half.
I still think Miami's going to win the series and win this game, unfortunately.
Yeah.
but I would love to see them lose, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I'm just saying.
Well, if Miami to lose this series, would you consider a Miami loss in this? If they lose this series, would you consider that an upset or just that they just lost to a really good team?
No, I would consider them losing to a good team, definitely.
I agree. That's how I see it. I wouldn't even see it as an upset because Indiana, like I said, even with my Knicks, I even said it myself before they played the Pacers. Remember I said, I'm fearful of them playing the Pacers because they're big and physical. I said I was afraid of my Knicks facing them, and you saw what they did to the Knicks. And if you're a Heat fan, you should be fearful what the Pacers can do because seven games is pretty long, and it can get real ugly. So we'll see. We winded down the last minute and a half left in the show. I do want to take this point to thank everybody for tuning in. And this
5G
is
Sports commercial coming soon.
Say it again.
I said 5G Sports commercial coming soon.
Yes. And also, this Memorial Day weekend, before you fire up some grills, get those hot dogs and hamburgers out, go to the beach or whatever you do. Me personally, I would like for you to take a moment and stop and think about why you have that day off, why you're able to grill that hot dog and hamburger, why you're still able to go to the beach. Because someone died for you all, for all of us to continue to do what we enjoy to do. It's not just a simple day off to do what you want. Someone gave the ultimate sacrifice for that to happen. Me being an Iraq-Afghanistan war veteran myself, I 100%, obviously, I know. And I just want everyone out there to enjoy your Memorial Day. Trust me, enjoy it. But just for a moment, just reflect and say, you know, I got this because somebody gave up something for me to have this. Because it's not easy doing what we do. It's just not. And that's all I ask. 20 seconds, just remember, hey, I know why we're doing this. And get your grill on. Anything you want to add a day before we get out of here?
Yes, continue to salute the troops. I was excited about having a discussion with a young guy. Came in from the Navy. Mm-hmm. Came in from the Navy, so Gotta celebrate the troops, the Navy, the Army, the Air Forces, all the troops. Man, respect for all that you guys do on a consistent basis. And we need to see more positive stuff happening on behalf of the veterans, too. I mean,
yes.
Let's get it done, really.
Yeah, we get a raw deal, but we keep fighting it. But, hey, we do what we do because we love doing it. It's an honor to do it, not for praise. But 30 seconds is all we ask. For me and my co-host right here at 5G Sports Talk on the J. King Network, we wish you a happy Memorial Day. Get some grills going. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. We broadcast every Monday and Thursday right here, Monday and Thursday on 5G Sports Talk. We won't be broadcasting Monday. It is Memorial Day. Hey, we all got to rest sometimes, too. So don't look for us Monday, but we will be back Thursday talking NFL projections, who should be good, who may stink, and so on and so forth, and also NBA playoffs. Again, for me and my co-host, we definitely do thank you all for tuning in and supporting us here on the J. King Network. Until then, we will see you when we see you. Peace.
Toodaloo, motherfucker.